up, cabrona?
What up, chingona? What's poppin', girl?
You know, the usual.
So I guess we should intro our pod.
Yes, we have a few more listeners now, so maybe we need to reintroduce. Now that we have, like...
Let me reintroduce myself. My name is...
No. Well, this is Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer media.
And Latina representation.
And all kinds of other representation within queer media.
Yeah, and Latino media.
Yeah.
We try to mix it.
We talk about media that we like for reasons.
And we give, like, TV and movie recs, so yeah. Yay! And we have a very special guest today. We have the illustrious, the wonderful Mr. Aaron.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Yeah, yeah! Aaron's here. I've been trying to get him here for a while.
It's lit.
It's super lit. So.
He listens to the podcast, so that's all I care about.
Fucking like the every time she's like, if you don't listen to us, fuck you.
And I'm fuck like, you if you don't listen to us. So everybody that's listening, like, no, is there good?
We love you all, and please get your other friends to listen to us.
Until then, they suck.
Okay, so today we're gonna be talking about.
We're talking about True Blood later, mm-hmm. And specifically Lafayette and Jesus' relationship. But first. We're going to talk about you and Aaron's fave movie.
Fave?
So a movie that you have seen.
A movie we saw recently that it's pretty decent. It's called Cuatro Lunas. And we have some feelings about it that involve magnets.
Translates into Four Moons. If for those of you that are going to have to watch it and so with subtitles.
You could have Googled it, Loca. I don't care. Like, you could have figured it out yourself. But okay. Yes.
Just saying. I'm just...
You're like, calmate, wey.
Bájale, porfas. I'm excited to hear about it. I haven't seen it. I was going to watch it. I swear to God I was going to watch it, but then we watched The Devil's Backbone twice, so...
Yeah, we did, so...
We'll get to that later.
Yeah, it's an interesting movie. It's directed by Sergio Tovar Velarde. It's from 2014. It's a Mexican movie. Why are we looking at stuff?
Or more of like a Latino movie.
No, but it's actually Mexican.
Really?
It's Mexican. It's directed by Mexican actors. It's
That's great. Usually you see them all like a bunch of movies from South America.
Right, but this is the rare exception. So what do you think, Aaron?
I thought it was an okay movie.
Yeah.
Like I said, a lot of feelings about it and... overall, it was pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, let's give you like a brief synopsis. It's about four different queer men.
Four lunas.
Four lunas. Yeah, and each of them were actually named different lunas, right? Like waning, waxing, depending on like the moon.
Oh, I thought you meant like real moons, like the moon, like Jupiter's moons or something.
Yes, there's four of them. They rotate in a circle.
I would be really good. I would be way more impressed by that.
Hey, feelings, okay? Don't insult the movie. It's still...
Okay, so waning and waxing did what? Go ahead.
Yeah, and then like a new moon and like an old moon.
Full moon.
So like in Spanish, what were the names?
Like
Luna Llena.
Yeah, Luna Llena. What is new moon? I don't
luna
remember.
Nueva Luna.
Oh, Luna. And then waning and waxing.
I have no idea how to say that.
Me neither.
Y'all watch the movie? Anyway.
Well, actually, from the song from the movie, it actually does talk about the different moons.
Okay.
Cool. I'm glad you noted that. No, but yeah, it's about four dudes figuring it out.
And this is on Netflix.
This is on Netflix. This isn't anywhere you can watch your TVs.
Awesome. That's your super movies. Accessible.
Your TVs, your movies. But yeah. So
what's the general premise?
General premise is four dudes coming to terms with just like everything.
Well, not necessarily just coming to terms, but also like exploring the relationships and different aspects of the relationships in each individual.
Yeah, so one of them would be like there's a couple and they're breaking up. There's a new couple.
Oh.
Yeah, there's
so that the full moons are like a parallel to the relationship status or where they are in the relationship.
Mm,
It's like new moon is a new relationship.
I wouldn't necessarily say it's in terms of their relationship, but it's just in terms of their identity and where they are with it. So like there's someone coming into themselves at the beginning. He would be the new moon. The waxing moon is the kid coming into the realization with himself, with other people, when he's starting that relationship. And he's like starting to come out.
Yeah, that's cool.
He's starting to come out. And then the full moon is the guy breaking out with his boyfriend. Like, just, yeah. And then the end, the waning moon is the older gentleman living like a double life. But at the same time, it's still kind of beautiful. Also messed up.
Yeah, beautiful and messed up at the same time.
Yeah.
That's usually how love is.
Isn't it? Is that love?
Not the messed up part, but like that the fact that there's like this, it's beautiful, but then like, or I guess it's not love, but heartbreak. It's beautiful, but it's, you know.
Bittersweet.
Yeah, bittersweet.
Yeah, it definitely. Okay, so what was your favorite story out of all of them? The four?
I would probably say the college students.
Probably the most relatable, considering the age group, I guess.
Yeah, that's why I found it like the most interesting out of all four of them.
Yeah, I think I found the one that I was less familiar with more interesting. So it would be the older gentleman and his relationship towards the younger man in his life, if that was even counted. So
you related to that?
No, I didn't. I said the most unrelatable one. It was the most interesting one to me. So
okay, that's better.
Yeah, I was like, no, my bad. Definitely don't relate to this. Like, I don't pick up dudes in bathhouses
or pay for them.
Or pay for dudes.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. You know, like those days are gone. I pay them on Mondays. Anyways, we have a schedule.
You pay the lunas on lunes.
On lunes. Good joke.
No, that's bad. No.
So that first story with the young kid was really hard.
Yeah, definitely.
That was hard.
You guys, okay, so you guys walked into the kitchen here at my mom's house where we're recording today and started crying about some magnets on the refrigerator, so I need an explanation.
Okay.
That's a couple who had been in a relationship for 10 years.
Okay.
And,
one of them's evil, one of them's not.
Yeah, one of them's a bit of an... I don't know if I can curse in this podcast.
Oh, you can.
But
yeah.
Who's a bit of an
like,
asshole.
Our name is a huge asshole.
Assholes doesn't even bleep us.
So, like, the couple... Like, yeah, one of them, like Aaron said, one of them is an asshole and the other is not. And he's, like, just kind of... What is it? There's, like, this space between them that happens to couples after a couple years. And it's normal. You know, people grow apart.
Unfortunately.
And they start to crack at the seams. And you start seeing them crack. And you start seeing the differences.
So you see their relationship progress. You don't just see, like, the end.
No. You're watching the end. You're watching it break.
Okay. Yeah.
And that was really hard, you know, to watch that on the screen. But the worst part and the most messed up part was these magnets, dude. Like, so one of the main things that's, like, a kind of, like, a big, I don't know. One of the main things that's, like, a big fight between them is the douchey one hates that the other one's kind of girly, kind of feminine. And he...
Oh, that's not cool.
Yeah, he says that to him, right?
Yeah, we're interns in the gay community. It's like, saying he's mask for mask, which is pretty much a masculine guy looking for another masculine guy. Yeah. He doesn't want to be with somebody who's too feminine.
So there's
internalized homophobia.
Internalized homophobia. Yes. Yeah, it's super gotcha. And he says, yeah.
He criticizes pretty much the way he's decorating the house and the magnets on his collection of magnets on the fridge.
I'm telling you, the collection of magnets is like taking over the entire refrigerator. There's nothing but like straight magnets on the whole fridge. And he's like, oh, you're too gay, you know? And that
in your own home, like,
yeah, in his fucking home. And so, and he's openly criticizes him for being too feminine. And I mean, you're both gay, what's the problem?
Yeah,
like, that's a bummer,
dudes.
You know,
you're both dudes.
I'm glad it acknowledges that though, because like
that happens. That's very real.
I mean, you see in like a lot of, well, I guess I don't really watch that much like gay guy media, but for example, on TV it's usually too feminine.
Isn't
women.
It like that? Like on like dudes are like that.
Yeah, especially on Latino media, the gay dude is always gonna be, I'd say, almost like in a cartoon fashion.
Oh, mm-hmm. like they're the comedic relief or whatever. Yes. Okay, yeah, I do hate that, but yeah. So I mean, at least they, I think it's kind of cool that they actually show it, because they always have like feminine women with feminine women on TV. Not that that doesn't exist, right? But like, that's all that they show.
Yeah.
No, so the thing about the magnets is that once they break up and he leaves,
he has put up with so much shit.
He's gotten cheated on left and right, like every other day.
What, with more masculine men and shit?
Yeah, but the masculine dude that he cheats on him with, of course, he's garbage too, because that's what he deserves. Yeah. He deserves garbage. And by the time he comes back from the hospital, all the magnets are gone. And that makes the douchey guy realize, oh, wait.
Look what I've done.
I fucked up.
Yeah, and he starts like crying by himself. And I don't care. Screw his tears. And then old boy's in his apartment, painting his apartment purple. He's out here getting
got his dog.
Mm-hmm.
He's living that's cute.
He lives his best really life cute. Without him. Mm-hmm. Although he's totally heartbroken, but he's living his best life.
Yeah. You know, just from hearing that, that's kind of a great message, not just for the part where it's like, be yourself, be your feminine self, there's nothing wrong with it, but also kind of doubles as like a get out of toxic relationships. There are other people mm-hmm. out there. Because, you know, in the gay community, it's easy to think, damn, I'm not going to find anybody else. There's so few of us, especially so few out people. So it's kind of cool for them to be like, you can be happy without somebody. You can get out of this toxic relationship.
What I really liked about it is that it was like teaching self-love. It was like, love yourself, because these motherfuckers ain't shit.
Hailee Steinfeld.
These bitches ain't shit, but love yourself. So, and let's talk about your favorite one.
Oh, the college students. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, I want to hear about this.
It's pretty much two friends that have known each other since they were little kids. One of them is essentially so coming.
He hasn't even said anything. Why are you crying already?
Fuck you guys.
Oh, Cartman's made an appearance.
It almost made me believe in love, okay? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Anyways, back to these fictional characters.
So essentially, one of them is pretty much coming to terms with his sexuality, and he's accepting himself for who he is. And then his friend, he's having a hard time coming to terms with his own sexuality.
Okay, yeah. So it shows like one of them struggling, the other one's just like, got this.
Yeah, that, like, I feel like that's the best part, though, is that he just kind of accepts his sexuality. He comes out. He doesn't even have to come out to his mom. His mom already knows. She's like, I see that scarf you were wearing, honey. It was like purple, honey. Okay. But there was a really endearing scene between the mother and the son that I was like, tears.
That was heartbreaking.
Which one?
The whole scene with
you
the
guys
mom.
Are talking about two different scenes.
We're talking about two different scenes. Because I'm talking about the one good scene. Okay, so when he's getting... Oh, I know. Yeah, it is heartbreaking. Anyways, he's getting ready to go out on a date with his boyfriend who's in the closet. And he's getting dressed up and he puts on a tie. And his mom hasn't quite told him that she's accepted his identity. But what she does do is she's like, no, honey. No. First, you're like, what? What a bitch. She grabs a different tie and is like, honey, here you go. This tie is your father's. This looks way better on you. And he's like, oh. Tears. Because, like, that's, like, the mom finally accepting him without there needing to be words. Like, he just said, I'm going on a date tonight. And she already knows it's with a dude, right? And so she just helps him look cute. And it's super adorable. And shout out to parents that are accepting other kids.
And shout out to
your
parents.
Yeah, that would be my mom.
Shout out to no other parents that have gay children.
But yeah. Cool. What was another one of your favorite parts?
Oh, what was the sad one? Because you talked about the good one, so what's the bad
Aaron,
one?
What's the sad, heartbreaking scene?
What's your favorite bad one?
What's your least favorite scene?
The least favorite scene?
No, I'm just kidding. Just tell me about the scene.
There's a lot of them.
The heartbreaking one. With the college students.
Well, it was the same one that Cynthia was talking about. Where
that one broke your heart?
But it's pretty much following after that scene with Cynthia. And it's pretty much after him getting his mom to get his tie on and whatnot. And him waiting for hours for the other dude to pick him up. He pretty much fakes a phone call. He said he's down there waiting for him.
No, just like for his mom's sake.
Yeah.
Oh.
But you know, mamas have that intuition that she knows something's wrong, and she goes look out the window and just sees him standing out there, waiting for no one.
It was sad. Like, you just see him moping. He's like walking off into the darkness, and mom's just looking through the window like, damn. Fuck these trash ass motherfuckers. That's how she felt, okay?
No, well, when he gets home later on, it's like she like hugs him, tells him he deserves a better man.
Well, that's cute.
There's a lot of self love going on in this movie, I'm telling you. Like, you watch this shit, and in the end, you felt like you got a hug, and you also got like your heart got torn out, but then they gave you a hug. Mm-hmm. So it was okay. And then the little boy, the new moon. Oh my god, talk about having like an awkward coming out phase of your life, like being he was basically forced out of the closet.
Oh.
Okay, man, this is
where do we start
on this
at
one?
The beginning.
Which I also have an issue with that one because of the whole religious aspect of
like you didn't like that they added the religion or just
I like how it points out the way their religion is an issue when it comes to sexuality.
Does it do so respectfully, or how does it integrate it?
He goes to the confession stand, and what does the priest tell him?
No, you're not gay.
Yeah,
he's like, no, you're not. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Really?
There's a downright refusal. He's like, you can't be gay.
That's weird.
He didn't even say, like, oh, it's a sin. He was just like, no, bro, you can't be gay.
I'm pretty sure they're supposed to.
Yeah, it's a minor sin, but you're not gay.
Because you'll go to hell or something.
What he says.
Oh.
He just, like, denied his identity.
I thought
they were
just supposed to, like, listen.
That was,
like,
the first person that, like, denied his identity, right? Because it just happened and kept happening and fucking, it's just terrible.
I mean, it's not like you go into a confession expecting them to be like, yeah, that's fine. Like, I'm not expecting that.
I mean, I never confessed for it because I never thought it was a sin, you know?
Yeah.
I never thought it was weird.
I actually, the only times that I did the confession, it was before I knew. So I was like, Gucci. I didn't know.
I went in, like, because they were forcing me to. And I was like, okay, I lie, cheat, steal. I was like, wait, I don't steal, though. So, no, like, legit, yeah. I would read off the sins and be like, okay, I'll just say all of them.
Oh man,
I'll just say all of them, you know. I was like, fuck it. I hadn't even done most of them, but I would be like, well, I don't know, I don't think that shit was a sin, but apparently y'all do, so let me just start naming shit. And then I said
goddamn 3 times, including right now.
Yeah, I'm like, they would make me pray for like 10 minutes. I'm dead serious.
Yeah,
like,
they'll give you, I mean, they give you your penance or whatever. That's why I was like shocked, like, how can you just tell him no, you're not, like, no, you're not supposed to say anything back to me, you just listen. And then tell me what I need to do to make up for it.
Yeah, that's what I feel like movies get wrong. It's like, you don't go in there and ask for advice. You can do that. Just go talk to him. You don't have to go into a confessional to get advice. No, you go in there to be like, all right, here's my checklist of sins. And you give me your checklist of, you know, prayers. And we're some set.
Yeah.
I masturbated at 2 p.m. last night.
Yeah, it happens. But anyways.
So then, okay, so he tells the priest denies his identity, and then what happens?
He pretty much, like, it does change his attitude a little bit.
What was his attitude like before? He was like okay with himself?
He was unhappy, sort of.
Okay.
And then after the priest told him, no, you can't be gay and whatnot, he somewhat got a little more motivated with himself.
Motivated to do...
Or, like, happier... Like, knowing that he couldn't be gay.
Oh, okay. So, like, a false sense of, oh, this isn't real. Yeah. Okay.
Awkward. So, essentially, he touches another little boy.
No.
No. Yes, he touches his cousin of all little boys.
Wait, so was he a little boy as well?
Yeah, no, yeah. They're both little boys.
Yes.
He's actually younger than the other one. But it's still weird, and you don't want to ever know that it happens, and it's gross. But anyways, he touches another little boy. He starts to get bullied, and then he has to tell his school why he's getting bullied. The best thing that came out of this awkward ass being forced out of the closet.
I feel so awkward listening to this.
It's terrible, but the best thing that came out of it is that his parents at the end accepted him. His father, who has like a very the whole time his father was like...
Did they know about the entire thing that went on or just the gay
yes,
thing?
Yes, yes. His parents found out. Like, that's cool. He was forced to say that he touched his cousin in front of a group of people.
Those parents are the real MVPs because...
That's what I'm saying. This story is more about the parents being accepting their son, and the mom always did.
Yeah.
So she knew before he did, that type of thing?
Come on, he's...
Yes. So he's flamboyant. Okay.
Yes. Right. Not intentionally, but you know how, like,
there's nothing wrong with it.
We have,
like,
a masculine energy.
There's nothing wrong with it.
He has, like, a feminine energy. So it's really cute because he, like, cooks and stuff. And he's very, like...
He chooses a female character.
Not that cooking, yeah. No, not that cooking that makes you gay, but
no,
yeah.
No, those things that make you gay, but he's, like, fucking with the gender binary for
okay,
sure.
Okay, that's awesome.
He's fucking
I love
with gender
that,
for sure.
Especially,
so shout out to him,
you know,
but...
the young the age I think that's great to show on TV, like, you know, you're not weird.
No, he's just fucking with gender norms, and I thought that was so cool. Like,
he's like, these rules ain't shit.
He's like, fuck these rules, I'm finna fucking be a badass cook and be nurturing and fuck y'all. That doesn't make me less of a it doesn't make him less of a man, it just makes him not even none of that
it
shit
just
even makes you gay. It just
makes,
like,
it makes it himself. That's
it just
yeah.
He's himself. Himself. And he just doesn't need to touch other people.
So we're all upset about this.
Little
yes,
man, why did you do
he's
that?
A child and he was see, making a mistake.
Yeah, he yeah. made a mistake as kids do, and the end result was that the father came to terms with his kid's sexuality. And it was kind of cute. Like, in his own way, he was trying to
I can see why neither of you two wanted to claim that story as your favorite.
Hell nah. Hell nah. Mm-mm. Yeah. That's a fuck no. Even the old man one, I don't claim it, but anyways.
You know what would be cool? Like, what? Have you guys heard of that one movie where, like, they literally have the same actor over, like, 10 years? It's called Boyhood.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Boyhood. Yeah. So that one, but, like, gay.
Girlhood. Oh. Actually, there is a movie called, I think, Girlhood. It's French, and of course, it's kind of... has its gay shit
yeah.
subtext.
It'd be really
anyways.
Cool to have, like, you know, a gay hood. Because, I mean, and in certain times, there are some people that they know that they're gay from the time they're five. You know what I mean? So it'd be cool if they had, like, that kind of a person. Because in Boyhood, they had, like, the same actor, and you watch the actor grow up as well as the character grow up.
But it's, you know, the movie gives you a slap and then it hugs you. Every story slapped the fuck out of you and then hugged you. Every story. So, you know, I can't say... They all had happy endings. Even the old man. That was weird. That was old, was a weird one, right? There's an old man propositioning sex in a bathhouse.
Dear.
To a young dude. But
straight, supposedly.
Straight,
at
supposedly.
A bathhouse?
Well, you know, gender is fluid, you know?
This guy's sexuality is fluid,
excuse
yeah.
Me, well, yeah, my bad. Well, what? Fuck gender.
No, gender too.
Fuck gender. But sexuality is fluid,
well,
so.
Fuck gender binary.
Yeah, so, you know, he's just kind of, he's just doing his thing yeah. in the bathhouse. He's just being a male prostitute. Get your money where you get it, boo.
That's what I aspire to be.
That's what our
sex workers, sex workers deserve respect.
They do.
That's all I gotta say.
Trust me, he got a lot of respect. He had all of the power in this, trust me. No, it was just like the thirst of the old man that was weird.
Yeah.
It was very thirsty.
That's you know, the lesson there is, like, don't try to, like, freaking... I guess what's the word for it, like, stop trying to stop gay people, because then they'll just you know, bad shit happens. Like,
what I found interesting is that he was living, like, this double ass life. Like, he had his whole ass family,
oh,
grandchildren,
oh, he's one
and
of
shit
those.
And then
ooh, yeah. Speaking of, Jay-Z's mom came out anyway.
That's so cool. She yeah. didn't live a double life. Jay-Z just never talked about it.
Oh
yeah,
but she had Jay-Z, so
I mean, you know, happened. Everyone goes through their own stages of discovering their sexuality. This old man, I'm pretty sure he knew for a while though.
Most definitely. Oh. Okay, so what's his happy ending?
Well, he was a poet, and essentially at the end he wants the other guy to go to his, what was it, what's
his
it
poetry
called?
Reading.
don't make fun of him for wanting to go to his poetry reading.
Which it was pretty, it's
it
pretty cute. But
damn. Okay, so he went. So he showed up to the cute poetry reading.
I was like, before you leave, can you go to my poetry reading? And he goes. He wrote a poem for him.
No, stop making fun of him.
Okay, but that poem was fire. If he wrote that yes. poem about me.
And essentially, he goes into the restroom, and then, like, they meet. He bought his book, and he signed it, and he was about to give him the money, and then he pretty much refused to take the money.
That's okay.
That was the happy ending.
That's not bad.
He signed his poetry book for him too.
Yeah.
That's kind of cute.
So one thing about that, was he getting money to go back to Mexico or to cross the border?
Cross the border.
So are they in Mexico throughout this?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a Mexican movie. Yeah. No, but yeah. So what do you think, Aaron? Would you recommend this?
Well, before... Okay, so you do your concha system. How many conchas out of 5?
If I was a gay man, like 4.5 conchas.
No, but just as you, because, I mean...
As me, you know, I would take off two conchas for the nudity.
I do it.
So that's, like, 3 conchas? Yeah, 3 conchas, because you have to... Because there's so much nudity, and you can't really watch it. And, yeah. I mean, if I like penis like that, then, you know, I'd be like, yo, watch this
just,
movie.
Just as you, just as you.
As me, it's 3 conchas, I'm sorry.
For me, I give it a 4.
Okay.
All right, again, yeah. Also,
with all the penises.
A bit too much penises for me. And I'm gay.
yeah. I mean, it's whatever, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't actually watch the movie, but it sounds like a great concept.
It's just a lot of awkwardness for me.
It's good. I mean, it's relatable and it's human and it's beautiful to watch humans come to terms. Like, I'm telling you, you get slapped and then you get hugged. It's a good slap and then a good hug.
Cause some people like getting slapped, so
you know. Fucking shit, my thing. We can't even just have like, what the fuck, where are we going with this?
I have to have some sort of input. Okay.
All right, Maite, let's awkwardly transition into yours.
Segue over
to you.
When you told me that you wanted to talk about this movie, I got kind of excited and kind of sad, because as we know, the actor who plays Lafayette on True Blood, actually you might not know, but he passed away recently, which got me thinking about True Blood and reminded me that he later on in the show was in a relationship with a Mexican man, and it was such a fucking beautiful relationship. I love their relationship. Okay, so True Blood, it came out forever ago, ended forever ago. I think it lasted like 5 seasons.
Yeah.
And the reason I watched it, just because all my friends were watching it and I was really into following the leader. You know what I mean? I just did whatever my friends did. But it got kind of interesting later on.
Later on?
Yeah, because Tara, who's one of the, not the main character, but one of the main characters, who's a cousin to Lafayette, she ends up dying, as people do, and getting turned into a vampire by Pam, who, you know, becomes her vampire mother.
Like people do.
This happens frequently.
Fuck that joke.
But well, in this universe though, like, people that are, you know, vampires that get turned into vampires by other people, they're their vampire parents or whatever, but they still, like, you know, they like to have sex with them, essentially.
That's weird. Or
they're not real. I mean, they're not related. It's just the person that turned you into a vampire. It's like if I turned you into a podcaster.
What? Where is this going?
I'm stopping this. Okay. Tara does. The only reason I wouldn't recommend this normally is because, you know, Tara dies and gets turned into a vampire and then dies later again, which sucks. But I still love her whole story.
Damn, she dies.
She dies twice.
That sucks.
It does suck. So, bury your gays trope alive and well. But it was a great show, and a lot of people die, so it's like kind of like Game of Thrones rules. Like, nobody's safe. It's fine.
Okay.
It'll do. And then another thing to note before I get into their relationship is that Anna Paquin, who is the main character, she's out proud and bi. And she's pretty cool. She was on X-Men.
She was Rogue.
She was Rogue.
That's
yeah.
What I remember.
Yeah, she's pretty cool.
I had a crush on her as Rogue.
I was rewatching Lafayette and Jesus' scenes here
so
in the
cute.
Living room.
So
yeah,
cute.
So you guys got to see a glimpse of that. I don't know. Have either of you seen the show? Have either of you seen the show?
No, it's on my to watch list.
I know you haven't.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
You know the scenes I've watched.
The ones with Tara and Pam?
Pam? Is that the other one's name?
Oh, I think you must have seen the
one. I watched it for Tara's fine ass.
Okay, Tara's beautiful, yeah. She has like a very super brief relationship with like a girl while she's still human. Yeah.
Good
Which
stuff.
Came out of nowhere.
Good
like,
stuff.
She was straight
you know
for
what?
A long time.
Give me
time.
Gratuitous lesbians. I'm down.
And this show is more than gratuitous when it comes to sexual content. I'll say that. It's ridiculous. Oh, and they kind of did a little bit of fan service for their gay fans, too, because, you know, they have straight characters who are straight and that's it. But basically, whenever you drink vampire's blood, you then have fantasies about that vampire. You'll dream for the next couple of nights or whatever that you're sleeping with that vampire that you got your blood from.
Deal.
So like there was one human I can't remember who, but one of the humans had to use vampire blood to heal and then ended up having fantasies of that vampire, and they acted out those vampire dreams or whatever. So it was total fan service. So you know, I don't think fan service is a bad thing necessarily. They did it in a really interesting way because it was just a dream, but they didn't have to act it out like that. So
I'm suddenly interested.
It's interesting. It's an interesting show.
But for Tara.
For Tara. She's worth it. I watch Queen Sugar because of Tara. So
I will now begin.
But anyways, getting back into Jesus and Lafayette. Lafayette in general, you could talk about him for a while. His character was pretty damn epic. He like speaks his mind, you know, when something's ridiculous he calls it out, even though he lives in a world with vampires and brujos and demons and everything you can fucking think of, because this is like an R-rated Buffy essentially. Anyways, they meet because Lafayette's mom, who basically refuses to talk to him and claims that he's dead to her because he's gay. But she's also schizophrenic, so she's being taken care of, you know, whatever, in a nursing home. And he goes to see her after like 6 months of her being there, and her caretaker is Jesus. And
oh, fine ass.
Yeah, this gorgeous this gorgeous Latino man named Jesus.
Mike is a man.
Who I like to think is me as a man. He is very much not, because wow.
See, I didn't say that. Like,
you kind of did. It's fine. It's fine.
You still fine to me, okay?
Jesus is. anyways, so basically, his mom, she's schizophrenic and stuff like that, but she's also very perceptive. And she knows that, like, Lafayette has, you know, something special about him because this show is pretty fucking magical and all that shit. So she, like, knows, like, there's something more to you. And Jesus gets that vibe right away, too. They're both, like, they both basically know he's a medium, and he does turn out to be a medium. So Jesus, you know, is seeking out for him, essentially, like, goes and, like, follows him and, like, you know. Lafayette's interested at the end of it, basically. So they kind of start up a relationship, which is pretty interesting, and it's adorable.
So Lafayette and him meet across. They meet eyes.
They meet eyes. Basically, I don't know.
I saw him across the geriatric section.
Stop.
Damn.
I quit.
Our hands touched as they quivered over the adult diapers.
Do you write fan fiction, my dear?
No.
She needs a minute.
I'm not even supposed to be in this podcast on the episode.
No, it's fine. I'm just going to talk to Aaron about this.
Okay, you and Aaron talk.
Okay, so what else is cool about this relationship? They represent this community of like people who are very spiritual. So, like, you know, they kind of reasonably, you know, have this expectation that gay people are not religious because religion hates us, etc. But there are a lot of spiritual gay people, at least I think, so, as far as I've seen. There's a lot of people who believe in God, even go full-on organized religion. And they, well, I wouldn't say do that. They don't go full-on organized religion, but they are, I mean, one of them is a medium and the other one is basically a brujo. Like, you know, he comes from like a long lineage of that kind of stuff. So at some point, vampire blood is not only used for healing, it's also used for tripping. It's like a drug. So they do vampire blood together, and then they end up like tripping. It's almost like it's like a mixture of everything. It's like acid, shrooms, and like ecstasy all in one. So they start like tripping. They start tripping really fucking hard and end up flashing back or seeing like literally Jesus's family performing like a ritual, for example, like a fertility ritual where his grandmother like cracks an egg on this woman's stomach. Like it's a fertility treatment, you know, the egg and what it represents, etc. Yeah, no, like Mexican people, like not all of them, but you know, they do use the egg for cleansing in many, many ways and all that stuff. Do you have an experience with that?
Oh yeah, that's like a big thing in my family.
That's I have zero. Like my family are, they're so fucking straight edge that I have no experience from it at all. But like I've seen it in TV. What were some of the things that your family did?
Just mainly with the egg cleansing.
Like they just do the, what is it, like the fore, like put on your forehead or something?
Yeah, some of the, I forgot what it's called. Pretty much whenever like you can't sleep or like having a bad dream.
Oh, okay.
Something like that.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool. See, I never got to see that in my family. They're fucking lame.
And again, I come from a tiny ass town in the middle of Mexico.
No, so do I. But really? They were just a bunch of like really elitist, pompous people because for some reason a lot of beautiful people came out of there. And yeah, no, not me. But other beautiful people came out of there and like they're extreme. It's like the most bougie, tiny little town. Like you could walk from one end to the other in 30 minutes. But
it's like the Hamptons.
It's like the Hamptons in Mexico. They recently got Wi-Fi. No, but it was man, I'm gonna like segue for a little bit, but that's a really interesting town, even because the youngins, basically, you know, there's not police, there's not anything like that. There's barely running water and shit like that, or at least when I was growing up. And when I was around 15 or so, me and my cousin, who was around 15 or so, we both went joyriding because that's like around the same time every day during the summer. A lot of the teens would go out and joyride.
The teens,
yeah, because people went on vacation there.
Se llama el rol. Así se dice, güey. Dice el rol. Vamos al rol. That's okay, like a whole thing.
They would not say that in Tutuaga.
Oh, is that where you're from?
Yes. Well, that's not what's where my family's from, yeah.
Ooh.
They would not say that there. They would just be like, you know, like they take their moms and dads fancy ass vehicles because they like to show out, and then they would go all around the village in like 15 minutes because it was so small.
So wait, how fast?
And
that's a common thing that Mexicans do for some reason.
Well, it's not real roads there. It's all like dirt roads and like hills and tiny little bridges, and it's low key really fucking dangerous. But we would joyride around there at like 15 and 16 year olds. It's where we all learned to like drive, essentially, and you'd like have to slow down sometimes because there might be a cow in the way.
This is like identical to my hometown.
Yes,
like literally.
Okay. Yeah, so I mean, this is good shit. Like, I honestly, I wouldn't trade it for the world. Those experiences were fantastic because I was 15, 16. So was my cousin, and we would go joyriding, and then they didn't give a shit about anything. And their age to drink is 18 over there, so you'd stop by like Spendia and get yourself some fucking chelas, which is some beers, and fucking drive around drunk as shit around these dirt roads,
no
dude.
Cows.
No, just because cows. Because the worst you could do is like hit like, you know, a fucking like random pile of dirt. Like you're not gonna hurt anything.
Yeah, my brother hit a cow once. He had to pay for it.
And that's like several dollars. Yeah,
that's expensive. Man.
Pesos.
That's several dollars. Yeah. So I mean, it was really probably one of the funnest experiences that I have in this tiny little town. You don't get any cell reception. There's only one place to get gasoline, and it's like this big ass tank. You know what I mean? It's
for
not like a real
town?
For a whole town. Yeah. I don't know, but it's you know, I mean, it's like the perfect vacation, honestly. Or it used to be, anyways. You get Wi-Fi now.
Gentrification.
Bunch of fucking Americans.
Bunch of Americanos.
Yeah, basically all these beautiful people had children who were also beautiful, and they go back and they, like, you see all these, like, gigantic, beautiful houses and all this shit. So it's a hell of a town. I'll tell you that. I just went there maybe 2 months ago, but not on good for such a great reason as such, but I had to go pass by there not too long ago. It's still bougie. I love it. I wouldn't trade it for the world. Yeah, the town of beautiful people. And back to this show. Also a very beautiful gay Mexican man. Like, he's probably from Tutuaga.
Yeah. Since you and him.
Yeah. Since we both were both, you know, like light skinned Mexicans with colored eyes. Yeah.
Oh man.
But it was pretty cool. Like, they kind of, you know, this bruja culture is kind of coming up recently. Mm-hmm. So it would have been really interesting to see a show like True Blood on air right now, because they kind of did the whole thing like several years ago with that. And you got to see a lot of his history, and like his grandfather was into some crazy dark magic. Yeah, man, it's pretty fucking cool. The entire show is pretty crazy. I didn't watch the last season, but the first few seasons that I saw were batshit. Because, you know, like, 100 vampire shows have come out since then, but that show did it all.
I literally just watched like a minute of it, and it was like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
that
I was like, I mean,
so quick. I was like, what's happening and why?
And you only saw like the Lafayette Jesus scenes. Like, they're not even the main characters. There's not like, I just wanted to talk about them specifically as a couple. As a whole, the show is worth watching, I think. Even though lesbians die, and I hate that, but you get to see quite a bit of it. You get to see, you know, them interact in this weird demonic vampire world, and they have fairies and shit, so that's fun. Yeah. They have everything you didn't like. They have a lot of stuff. They have werewolves, shapeshifters, stuff like that.
People.
They have people of color. This is based in like Louisiana.
Two people of color. They're both gay and they're together. Oh my god.
And no, and then separately Tara, and then who else? Okay, so maybe not
that. Everyone's like in interracial relationships and they're queer. I love it. That's fucking super ahead of
not
its time.
Everybody. Anna
no,
Paquin.
But like, yo, they had two. Wow.
Yeah, you guys are doing better than we are now 7 years later.
Our expectations are very low, but that's just fact.
Yeah. Like, it's just, they were a little ahead of their time, and it was a very popular show, at least. Is on HBO, I believe, yeah. So that's my recommendation for the week. This is a very male episode.
That's good. We need to do that every now and then. You know, we have our wonderful, illustrious Mr. Aaron.
We have so many gay guy friends. Like, a lot. You and I.
Are we each other's, like, lesbian friends?
You're the only one that I know.
Shit, I think you're the only
I'm
one
just
I
kidding.
Know.
I know quite a few.
No, I'm trying to think, like, of, like, lesbians other than, like, my girlfriend that I hang out with a lot. I'm like, no, you. I'm like, the only other lesbian, like, I hang out and kick it with is the girl I'm dating, so...
I mean, me and my friend Vanya... my friend Vanya doesn't really listen to this, but she's my other lesbian friend, I guess. I'm trying to think of more, but we're going to Peru together. Like, we're pretty... We're friends.
Bros, BFFs.
Bros. Oh, did you say girls or did you say gross?
I said bros.
Oh, bros, yeah.
But yeah, so what do you, how many, what's your, how
what
many
would
cafecitos?
I read it?
Yeah, how many cafecitos?
Okay, so per episode, I would say you probably need one cafecito per episode to stay awake to watch this, because you really have to concentrate. There's a lot of content. It's kind of like Game of Thrones, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot going on. But I love it. It's like based in the South, and it's pretty queer, and it's demonic, and it's funny, even though it's bloody.
And yeah. Shit like escalates. Shit's popping off after like 30 seconds. I was like, wait, y'all were just talking.
Yeah.
Now we're getting
probably maybe
possessed.
The first season is probably the slowest, because you kind of have to, they ease you into the supernatural. But after that, they just go all out. They just go ham. They bring everything in. They don't give a fuck.
So yeah, no, I fucking love it. Go rewatch True Blood for Lafayette and Jesus and Tara.
Rest in peace.
Just doing anything. R.I.P.
Lafayette, you're fantastic.
He's amazing. He's an amazing actor.
He was Lafayette. I honestly like. I think of him all the time. Like, even today, he's a great character. Yeah, even if you just don't just watch it for this relationship, him as a character himself, like, he's worth watching.
Yeah, just him. Just like a lot of black guys make shows way better. Titus.
The Titus Effect.
The Titus. This is the Titus Effect. The Lafayette. Shouldn't we call it the Lafayette?
The Laugh Effect. The Lala Effect.
Lala Effect.
They call him Lala sometimes. He speaks in third person sometimes. he's like Lala needs to go to bed.
I fucking love that though. Titus does some shit like that too.
He does, yeah. He does some weird shit too.
Yeah, fucking some love amazing it. Amazing. Yeah. But yeah, so yeah, fucking follow us on iTunes.
Yeah. So I mean, you can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. Wow.
Yeah.
I struggled. Follow us on Apple Podcasts.
Yes.
Subscribe to us, I should say.
Rate us.
Rating us 5 stars, like, I know that it's, like, annoying.
We know there's a 4 there, but
I know you have to.
Don't play.
You have to go, like, all the way, search us, and then do the whole. But, you know, it really helps. So just go and, like,
we'll love you forever.
Do the 5 stars. Like, please.
We'll send you stickers.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I don't know.
We'll bribe you with stickers.
We'll bribe you with stickers. We have stickers.
We have stickers. So many. Well,
And we're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. CYC Podcast. If you're listening to this podcast, well, I mean, you've already basically finished this episode. But the next episode, if you get into the next episode, like, and you want to tweet about it or say something funny about it, and have other followers see what the fuck you're talking about, do hashtag CYC Pod.
Yes, at CYC Pod. No, at so no.
No, hashtag
CYC Pod. I'm not hip to this technology. Okay, these kids.
You could tag us. I would love.
Twitter for almost 5-6 years now.
Okay, but I'm not hip to it. I was on Twitter drunk tweeting. Okay, that's it. I used the tweets for
honestly,
the drunkness.
The best way to listen to this podcast is drunk. So
actually, yes, drink some. And if you can't, then
hashtag advice. Hashtag CYC Pod. You can add us in the tweets so that we can see it, but hashtagging it will allow other listeners to see it, which is awesome. That'd be really cool.
So, we love y'all.
You guys are awesome. If you have any recommendations for something else to talk about, if you thought this sucked,
let us know.
If you hate me or love me, leave me.
No, I'm just kidding. Talking in the background.
Why is Joe still talking in the background?
We love the errands here.
It's hard to edit, but it's fine. But go ahead and send us an email at cycpodcastmail@gmail.com. We're also there for all your needs. And thank you, Aaron.
All of your needs.
Oh, not all of them. No. Aaron, thank you for being here. It was great.
Thank you for having me.
Follow him on
Twitter. We'll probably tag him here.
Aaron,
there.
Plug yourself. What is your Twitter thing?
Twitter. What are all your social medias?
Just Nunes Quote on Twitter. Instagram, Nunes Quotes with an S. And the only other thing I do is just PlayStation. Just Mavs, Nez, Seg. MAVSNEZSEG.
Add him. Play games with him. Woo!
All right.
So, yeah. So, bye, chingona.
Bye.